Tess Wolf 7000 P. Wolf, Ralph Domit, Alan Bushlita. Yeah, one day.
Very, very.
Are you reading number one? Volume a bit? Okay, please. Okay. Right, I think that feels a little bit more mentioned. Just double check, make sure that all the cameras are on and everything is where it needs to be. Yeah, thank you. Alright, so tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready, ready.
Yeah. I don't want you to miss anything on the video, so we all
missing nothing.
Okay, very good. Okay, good morning, everybody. To part two of the Kasher series. Last time we spoke about taking a milking spoon, putting in a fellatio pot, a fellatio spoon in a milking pot, and what we discussed at the time, which is going to be very important to continue on with that discussion today, was that if you have a piece of meat, the isser that the Torah made was the taste of the meat and the taste of the milk coming together. That was the isser basar b'chalav, and that's what we said, that even though basar is mutter and chalav is mutter, yet the mixture of the two tastes is what the Torah forbade. And therefore, we spoke last time about the idea of using a milking spoon in a fleshy pot or a fleshy spoon in a milking pot and how that would affect the taste. And today we're going to move on to another type of utensil, and that is a knife. And when we're going to talk about knives, we're going to have to speak about certain concepts within knives. But we're going to, in order to be able to understand the questions that are going to come up, and it was interesting because yesterday, in preparation for this, I took out Rabbi Force, has two svarim actually on it. He's got one called The Kosher Kitchen, has got another, The Laws of Kashrus. They're basically the similar svarim, but one is a little bit updated over the other. And when I read through The Kosher Kitchen, he gets to the point where he writes, this issue is very complicated, we're going to give a few guidelines and ask a rabbi if you want to know the answer. So it is very complicated when it comes to these things. We're going to try to give guidelines. Remember, like we said last time, it's kedai to ask shailas anytime, and these shailas do come up a lot. So, let's talk about knives today. And in order to be able to talk about this question about cutting with a fleshik knife, something milik, coming with a milik knife, something fleshik, and we won't deal with it today, but for example, the question of going to Tesco and buying fish comes into this as well. Because the guy at Tesco has been cutting up all sorts of fish, possibly shellfish and everything else, and then you went and you asked him for a piece of salmon, and he went and he cut your salmon with the same knife that he's used to cut the shrimp or to use to cut the prawns or the lobster previously. So that's also a shaila that comes in with knives, although that's not for today. So we're going to discuss over here as follows. Number one, we need to discuss the item that you're cutting. Is it hot or not? That's question number one, because there'll be a difference in a hot item. If you have a hot piece of meat, you've just taken a flat pickled brisket out of the pot, you've put it down, it's about to be cut on this very nice chopping board, and somebody takes out a milking knife and starts cutting it, that will be one shaila. Versus, it's cooled off already, you have your piece of flat pickled brisket, but it's not hot anymore, it's cold, and now someone's going to cut it, that will be a very different shaila, because as we spoke about previously, heat is what helps the transfer of taste. Where there is no heat, the transfer of taste is going to be different. So that's question number one. Question number two that's going to go together in tandem with this question, and we're going to have to speak about it a bit later, is the question of whether this piece of meat is inside a pot or whether this piece of meat is outside a pot. So does that mean I have a pot, inside I have a piece of meat. I now want to take a knife and cut it inside that pot. That is definitely a kli rishon. However, if you take this piece of meat out now, you use one of these big forks, you take the piece of meat out now, and you move it over and you put it onto the chopping board, for all intents and purposes, we are now in a kli sheni. So if you're now in a kli sheni, the halachas of bishul, and therefore the halachas of kashrus, automatically need to change with where you've placed the meat. It was in the pot, it's now out of the pot. So do we say that there's going to be a difference or not a difference? That's question number two. Question number three is, if you are cutting something inside a pot, is the item going to be on its own, or is there going to be a sauce in addition to it? Because once there's a sauce, you actually have a lot of extra items, a lot of extra food, that would help you mevatel the taste of whatever it is that you're cutting. So you had your fleshy piece of meat, you had your big piece of brisket, you took your milchig knife by mistake, you cut it, but it's inside the water. So now I don't only have the meat, but I also have all the water and the sauce around it that would help me for the bittul. There's another question. Next question you need to ask yourself. Is the knife that I'm using ben yoymoy? Meaning to say, I have a knife over here that I'm using to cut this item. Is it considered ben yoymoy? Meaning to say, did I use it in the last 24 hours with something that was hot of the other type? So if you're cutting something fleshes, did I use it with hot milchigs? If I'm cutting something milchigs, did I use it for hot fleshes? So for example, you took a lasagna out of the oven. So the lasagna that was inside the oven and you took it out, it's inside its 9x13 or whatever pan it is. That's called a hot item in a kli rishon. If you take a knife and you cut this item now, you now have a properly milchig knife. Because that knife became milchig from something that was hot and something that was properly milchig. Whereas, you could have another instance where we could come back to this question. You've taken your pickled brisket out of the water, you've cut it up, and now you take your knife and you're cutting into that brisket. That brisket is already in a kli sheni, possibly even in a kli shlishi. So now you could say, the knife that I've used might not even become ben yoymer from it, because the knife is cutting something that is not in a kli rishon. Once it's not in a kli rishon, maybe the taste that is imparted into the knife is not strong enough, and therefore once what's imparted into the knife is not strong enough, what's going to then come out of the knife back into the opposite food is also not going to be strong enough. So there's a question you need to ask over here. The next question you need to ask, and this is going to be a very big question, is going to take up a lot of the space and a lot of the discussion over here, is that there's an assumption that knives aren't clean properly. And we'll talk about two types of knives. Number one is the straight edge knife, and the other one is the serrated knife. Very, very different. So the straight edge knife, so you have a non-serrated knife that's got a flat edge, that one, oftentimes we assume that when you cut, let's say, you're cutting cheese with it. You take a knife and you cut cheese. Even though the cheese is cold, there's going to be a shamnunis, there's going to be fat that's going to make itself onto the sides, onto the walls of this knife. And because the fat makes itself onto the walls of this knife, even if the cheese that you cut was cold, you could still have another problem. And the problem there would be that you're dealing with shamnunis, you're dealing with mamoshes that's on the knife. And since you're dealing with mamoshes that's on the knife, real, proper, bona fide, fleshes or milchig fat that's on the knife, and then you cut the other type with it, you could end up with a problem even if you never use a knife in anything hot. In addition, we spoke about this last time also, so these are all these things you need to keep in mind. When you cut the knife, you cut the lasagna, it could be more than 24 hours ago that you cut the lasagna. So that even though I used it in something that was kli rishon milchig hot, properly boileya, into my knife, it's now more than 24 hours afterwards. So now that's more than 24 hours afterwards, we've mentioned that the taste inside of any keli after 24 hours becomes pogum, becomes pungent, and therefore doesn't impart any taste of shvach. So let's say you had this knife, it was used for a hot lasagna and you cut the lasagna on Sunday, and today on Tuesday you went and you cut by mistake a piece of meat with it. You can't say, oh, I have a milchig knife over here, because whatever taste is being imparted by that milchig knife is already now not ben yoymoy. It's not from the last 24 hours, and therefore the taste it imparts is not good. And we said, the mixture of taste of milk and meat is of the Torah forbade, but here you have meat with milk that's already off, so to speak, and that's not the taste of the Torah acid, so that would make it us either. Okay? Next question you need to ask yourself. See, all these questions that come up. How much of the knife actually touched the meat? So can I say, well, I cut only with the front of my knife, and so therefore I didn't need to, or do I have to count the entire blade? How much of this am I going to have to count? And lastly, we're going to discuss a concept over here, is the concept of duchke de sakina. Does the pressure that the knife exerts on this food make any difference? Meaning, does the halacha treat a spoon and a knife differently? When I put a spoon into my pot, or when I take a knife and I cut a milky knife and I cut my meat, is that all the same thing that's considered one utensil of one type touching a utensil of another type, or are there differences? And here we want to mention a few of the differences that the halacha brings when it comes to this dukkah, the sakina. Number one, normally the halacha is that the only time food, for example, from fleshik to milchik or milchik to fleshik, taste is imparted from one to the other throughout the entire item, is where you have rotif, where you have some form of sauce, gravy, whatever you want to call it, that's going to be there, that's going to help the taste spread through the entire item. If you don't have that, then the halacha is you wouldn't need that. So for example, let's say if you had a dry piece of meat and a dry piece of cheese that touched each other, in halacha, all you need to do is you really need to just wash them off. Because even the inflation of milk and they touched each other, that doesn't make the entire thing osur, unless there's roitiv, unless there's something else that's moving it around. And that's halacha and siman tzadik aleph. And therefore, I think people sometimes get very, very nervous. Oop, meat touched the milk, throw the whole thing out. Lav dafka. And you could have a question of baltashas on top of it, because you're chucking out food that doesn't need. However, where you have a knife, the halava said, the duchke de sakina, the pressure that the knife exerts on the food, allows the taste to move from the knife into the food throughout the entire food, even though there's no roitiv, even though there's no gravy or sauce to be able to move it. So that's one chumra of the knife. Chumra, not right? Now, that, what we said, number two, is that it spreads through the entire food. That's what we said before. And here, there's actually a machlokes. A very interesting thing I saw this morning, the Aruch HaShulchan says, that when it comes to davar charif, when it comes to something that is considered strong, for example, an onion, so what's the halacha? So let's say I took a milchig knife and I cut an onion. So I made a chop in the onion. How far is this onion now milchig? So the halacha says, if I only made a single cut, I'm not talking about dicing an onion now. You took an onion, you made a single cut in the onion, you go, ooh, whoops, milchig knife, I'm using it for fleshes. You put the milchig knife away, you now have a very big onion that you don't want to chuck out. The halacha is you take a day netila, which is, we'll explain that in a minute, but the basic idea is, you need to take a piece about the thickness of your thumb, about an inch, 2.5 centimeters, you cut that away, that's as far as the taste of the milchig will go, and that's it. So you had this big onion, you know, these big Spanish onions sometimes, and you made one chop in it, and you realize that actually I made a mistake over here, this is the wrong type. Move over 2 or 3 centimeters, use a fleshing knife, cut off where it is. The rest of the onion is kosher, you can use it for your fleshings if you wanted to. This is before you fried it or anything. Don't, you know, let's, when we get to onions, we're going to have a separate shiur on davar charif, but at the moment this is what he says. So therefore says the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't believe that the duchke de sakina by charif will be any different than the duchke de sakina by anything hot. And therefore the Aruch HaShulchan says it does not spread across the entire food. It would only spread as far as it would spread when you have a davar charif. However, I don't think that that's the way Pasuk Halacha, we would say go across the entire food. Next, there's another halacha that's very important also, which we will get to, Mitzvah Hashem, further on in the series. And that is, it depends what is at the top and what is at the bottom. Because Gemara brings a machlokes about what's called Iloy Gavar and Tatoy Gavar. Meaning to say, if you have two items that are hot, then the taste is going across from one to the other. But if you have an item on the bottom and an item on the top, it now depends which one of the two is hot and which one of the two is cold as to how much taste is imparted from one to the other. And therefore, the halacha we say is that Tatoy Gavar. If something on the bottom is cold, if something on the bottom is cold, yes, then even if something hot falls on top of it, it will only go in kidei klipa, it will only go in a very small amount. And vice versa, if the item on the bottom is hot, and you have something cold that falls on top of it, there we say that the entire thing becomes straight, because it is always the one on the bottom that that wins out. Now I know that some people might say, wait a second, you might have a massive piece of meat and you have a tiny little bit of milk on the bottom. How can you say that logically speaking that makes sense? If you have the same amount, you can say, okay, the bottom is out over the top. But if you have a very small amount on the bottom that's hot and a very huge amount on the top that's cold, okay, so that's a shiloh that's very much heavily discussed in Achronim, not for now. But that's this halacha v'ilogah and tatogah. So say the Mefarshim that even though normally we say that the bottom is hot and the topic called The Bottom Wins Out. When it comes to knives, because of Duhki the Sakina, it does make a difference. If either of the two is hot, whether the top one or the bottom one, and you use the knife to cut it, that one impart taste all the way through.
Just to clarify, Duhki Sakina lasts for how long?
Oh, so Duhki Sakina, what do you mean?
Is it Banyoibay or it could be even later?
Oh, so here we get to the next bit, which is the other thing that we want to speak about the knife, and that is that a knife is assumed to have shamnunis on it. That means to say that the duhki de sakina on the knife, you have the knife, you're cutting with the knife, even though it's not ben yoyma anymore, but the halacha of not ben yoyma only applies to the belias, the taste that has been inside of this actual item. But the shamnunis, the fat, the real mamoshes, the actual flesh, or actual milky fat, or whatever you want to call it on the side of the knife, that doesn't become not ben yoyboy. That stays good, and ever that. Now, the other thing with Duhki Sakina, what you were asking before, if it becomes not ben yoyboy, where you have a dava charif, the dava charif takes that taste and makes it fresh again. So when we get to dava charif, we'll have to talk about that again. So that question is also discussed. Okay, so then we're going to get into the discussion of washing the knife or not. So there is a conversation to be had over here, how you get the knife to be clean. So in halacha, the knife is clean through ne'itza. Ne'itza bekaka, that means you have a type of ground. It's not very soft, but it's not actually hard to break a knife either. And what you'd have to do is you'd have to put the knife into the ground 10 times. And that's abrasive, that will get rid of all the fat around the knife. I remember when we learned it in Kollel, so we said that if you use soap and you use something abrasive to scratch it away, you could say that that's clean. Also, again, that's a very, very big shaila, what makes a knife clean. What I would say is if you just wash it in a dishwasher, I'm not sure if that's good enough if we la halacha, but if you've taken a sponge and you've actually rubbed away at it, there we could probably say that the knife is clean. Sometimes if you have especially serrated knives, you touch them even though after they've been cleaned, if you go into the grooves, you'll find that the grooves still have fat in them because it somehow gets lodged in over there. So that's part of the question.
Bleaching, is that helpful?
Pardon?
Bleach.
Bleach. Interesting. So you're saying if I bleach it, whatever was on there, even if it is shamnunis on there, now it tastes whatever you're going to call it.
So,
right?
So
and so we'll probably do the same. Okay, there's a big question over that. I don't know. I would say it makes sense to say, like you said, Mr. Fulda, that you know that it is, it should change it, that it now doesn't have a positive taste anymore. Now the taste has become pungent through that. And that's what we do, for example, on Pesach. Oftentimes things that you cannot clean, first thing you do is you clean it as best as you can, and you plug it with some kind of caustic acid, and you say that even if chas v'shalom, some of that would fall into something that you had that was based on dick, it's horrible and disgusting, and therefore we wouldn't consider it to be a problem.
Would the dishwasher,
I guess, if you say that the whatever soap or whatever other acids you use on them makes the fat, even though it doesn't remove it, it makes it not palatable, yes, that would do the same thing. I need to just double check with someone about that one. Okay, a few more concepts that we have to have over here, and then we're going to get into the case. Number one is something called kidei klipa. Kidei klipa is going to come up a lot in the different halachas of kashrus, but it means that sometimes you need to get rid of literally a very, very thin, even microscopically thin layer from where it came into contact. So let's say you've cut with a knife, you want to get rid of a kidei klipa, you just move it a little bit, you use another knife maybe that's not milky, you just cut away that little bit of the outside where it touched, that would be considered kidei klipa. Kidei netila we mentioned already, which is the size, around an inch the size of a finger. Then we have the rule of Shumah Mefafeah, that fat inside something makes it move around and gets the taste further. Oh, so here are two more concepts that are very important before we get into this. Number one is the idea of stam kelim. That means to say, what happens if I have a knife and somebody asks me, is this knife ben yoyma or not? I go, I don't know. There are that many knives in the house, I don't know what is and what isn't. So the halacha says by kelim, stam kelim einam ben yoyma. If you have a keli and you don't know if it's been used in the last 24 hours or not, the assumption is that it has not been used for that. So therefore, the stam keli, if you don't know for sure it's been used in the last 24 hours or not, you can assume that it's not been yom, it's not been used in the last 24 hours, and that would be very, very helpful. Okay? Lastly, that by the way, the stam keli works everywhere except if you have a factory that works 24/7. In that instance, you assume that all of the bits in the factory are constantly working. But at home, I don't sit and eat 24/7. Nobody eats in 24/7. So what knife was used yesterday in the milk, or in the flesh? Who knows? So therefore, we say Stam Kelim and Meyomim, and we ignore that unless you know for certain that this item was used in the last 24 hours. Lastly, and this is going to be a very big machlekes also, is machlekes of something called Dova Gush. Many of you have heard of this idea when it comes to Shabbos. It comes up in Shabbos, and it comes up over here by Kashrus also. And the idea is as follows. Let's give a good example of this, because I find this to be a very good example. If you've ever had a jacket potato, and the jacket potato has been made inside this tinfoil, you put it in the oven, you took it out, you put it on the plate, and then you cut it open. And suddenly when you cut it open, all of the steam starts to come out. And you put it in your mouth, and there's a reason they call it a hot potato. Yeah? You put it in your mouth is burning away, and it didn't look so hot. But the amount of heat that's inside of this potato is extreme. And oftentimes, it means gushin, something that comes in clumps. Oftentimes, something that comes as a bigger piece rather than a liquid retains the heat for much longer. And once it retains the heat for much longer, the question therefore becomes, does this item cool off when I take it out of the pot? Or does this item still remain at the same level? Meaning to say, you have soup. So if you have soup, you have it in a klirishin. You took it with a ladle and you put it into your bowl. So that's either klisheni or klishishi, depending if the ladle becomes a klisheni. But forgetting about that now, let's call it even a klisheni. Your soup that's now been moved from your hot pot into your bowl is going to start cooling off almost immediately, because we have what's called the fanos metzananos. The walls of the new pot are cooling off the liquid. And so that's coming down very, very quickly. Whereas, you will have often seen that if you take a big piece of meat, like that flat pickled brisket that's been cooked inside the water, you take it out and you put it onto a chopping board, that's going to retain its heat for much, much longer. Because it's one big piece, and the heat, everything heats itself together, therefore, that stays hot for longer. And what that therefore means is possibly that if you took the piece of meat outside of the pot, put it down on the chopping board and then started cutting it, it might, and we'll get to the halacha soon, it might still have the halacha that it's like a klirishin and that all of the haste goes through. Okay? So, let's just quickly summarize and let's get into a halacha lemaisa case. Number one, you have to know if the meat that you're cutting is hot or not, or the cheese, whatever it is. You have to know if it's in a pot or it's outside a pot, and therefore is it still a klirishin because it might be a double gush or not. Does it have sauce to help the bitter? Is the knife ben yoimoy or not? Is the knife clean or not? How much of the knife touched the actual item? Does the pressure make any difference? We spoke about kedei klipa, which is a small amount, kedei netila, which is the inch. We spoke about double gush, stam kelim. Okay, simon zadik dalet siv zayin. This is now all introduction to get to the case that we're talking about. So the question is, you have hot meat that's in a klirishin, and you cut it with a milchik ben yoimoy knife. Let's go all out now. Okay? You know that the piece of meat is inside a klirishin, you know for sure it's hot. You know that yesterday you used this knife to cut lasagna that just come out of the oven, that for sure made it a milchik. And it's got shamnunis, it's also got some kind of a film of dirt on the knife as well. So you now have proper fleishiks with proper milchiks that mix together. What's the halach? Point number one, you always say shishin. That's the first question that you have. You need to say that you need 60 keneged the knife. Now, how much of the knife do we need 60 keneged? So here, it's very interesting. There's a discussion exactly how much of the knife went in or didn't go in. But the assumption is in halacha that people don't actually look. Nobody's focused on how much a knife you did or didn't use. And therefore, the assumption is you use the entire knife to cut. And therefore, you need 60 keneged the entire blade. Unless you can say, I was very careful only to use the front half of the knife, if you can say that for certain, alright. But in general we say, the rule is, for mirsadalayarami alay inish lavadite, anything people are not really focused on, they don't know exactly what it is. That means to say, if you ask somebody, how much of the spoon went into your soup? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, you go figure. How much of the knife touched this meat? I don't know, when you start measuring, like exactly, I don't know, I took the knife and I cut it. Did you use the entire blade or not? Tell me. Who knows? Who's looking? And therefore the rule says, because I'm not looking, I'm not focused on that specific detail over here, I don't know and I have to assume that I use the entire knife. Okay? So you have your piece of meat, it's a clear... Pardon?
You say shishim on the knife.
Yes.
You're talking about the length and the thickness of the knife.
So the volume of...
There's barely anything.
Okay, so that's true. And therefore, if you sit down and actually work out volumetrically how big a knife is, I'd be surprised, we did it last time with a spoon also, I'd be surprised if it's much more than 10 or 20 cc's. Because as you said, it's very, very thin, and therefore, even if you had a bigger knife, I wouldn't say that a knife is that big. And therefore, if you want 60 times a knife, if you had 1.2 kilos of meat over here, there's a very good chance you're shishim in that knife anyway. Okay, so you don't need such a big, 1.2 kilos is not a massive piece of meat. And that's only if you have a big knife. If you have a smaller knife, obviously you need less. And it all depends on how big this knife is going to be. But you have to measure the knife, you have to know how much or how big volumetrically that is. Last time we discussed about how to measure that, you can do that with water displacement. You have a pot, or whatever it is, you fill it to the top with water, you stick in the knife, however much water comes out, then you take the knife back out, weigh it again. If you knew it was 1 kilo beforehand, and now it's 985 grams, so you've displaced 15 mils of water, that's 15 cc's. That's how you know. If you use it with water, you know 1 mil is 1 cc, and that's how you know how much you've displaced from it, and that's how you'd be able to measure. So you'll have to measure it that way. But as you said, I don't believe, for example, that if you have a small knife, the small Victorinox knives, not the big ones, the small ones, 5 to 10 mils, maximum. It's a very, very small knife, and therefore, even though you cut flations with it, the chances of having shishim kenegedit are very, very high. Yeah, if you measure it like that. But what you need to say is we need to measure the entire knife, because we assume the entire knife became milchig, and therefore the entire knife gives taste of it. So if you have no shishim, what you'll have to do is the meat, treif. The knife, it's kasher. Okay? That's the obvious bit. If you don't have shishim, the meat became milchig from whatever's on the knife, whatever taste is in there, and then we have taste of milchigs and taste of lations together, we said that was straight, that's obviously osur. And you have a knife that is milchigs and lations now, that also needs kashering. Okay? That's the easiest case. What happens if you have shishim in it? So you now cut this piece of meat with a milchig knife and there's 60 in the knife. So there we say that the taste has disappeared within the entire piece of meat and we ignore it. And nevertheless, even though the taste has disappeared, we still, chumra, we cut off a klipa, we cut off a very thin layer just where you cut it. So let's say you have this big piece of meat, you cut it with your milchig knife, you go, oh yeah, I cut it with a milchig knife. Take the milchig knife aside, that one needs kashering. Get another knife. Use that knife, you have shishim in it, use that knife to cut away about 1 centimeter, even half a centimeter, from where the knife touched the food, and then you take that and you chuck it out, and whatever else is left, that'll be mutter. That's all if you had it in a kli rishon. Okay? And remembering that if you cut it inside a kli rishon, if there's sauce and everything else in it, that will help you to make the bittul that will add to the shishim. Once you've taken it out of the kli rishon, now we get to the discussion of double gush. So I'm going to be very quick over here because we're running out of time. I have only 1 minute. So, double gush is a major machlokes in the Achronim. The Ramah doesn't seem to hold up double gush. Ramah says once it's in the kli sheni, it's in the kli sheni. The Mashal writes that we are machman double gush, and it would seem that the Taz and the Shach do go along with that. So the halacha lemaisa on Shabbos, and when it comes to kashrus, we'll have to discuss this again next time. But on Shabbos, when it comes to kashrus, davar gush is treated like a kli rishon. So you have to be careful with spicing things, you have to be careful with putting it into something else that wasn't cooked. You have to treat it like a kli rishon. And if you have a piece of meat that you took out of your pot and put it onto the chopping board, we consider it a kli rishon, and therefore if you cut it with a milchig knife, if you don't have shishim, the whole thing is awesome. If you have shishim, then you just need to take that klipa at the edge. But it's considered like that. What if it's a hefse merubah? Where you have a hefse merubah, the Aruch HaShulchan paskins. By hefse merubah, kedayu ha-ramah, v'smechalav. The ramah is big enough, you can say, the ramah also. And therefore, where there's a big loss that might happen over here, and you had shishim, and you wouldn't have shishim, and you'd have to chug out this whole piece of meat, and you can't really afford to do that. You can be soymech on the Ramah, where you've taken it out of the pot and put it down on the chopping board. It's now a klisheni, not a klirishim. And then when you cut it, it only goes kidei klipa, and that's it. That's all you'd have to do. Okay? Long would we've spoken about this. We've unfortunately run out of time. Reuben, you're saying kamish? Yeah? Rabbi Chananah min HaKashu, I'm going to go to the Lord, I'm going to go to the Lord. Here what I'm doing to Shanama, they know how they're going to go, I did, they're going to go, yeah, I did.